knowing that you can change and transform our lives. Lord, nobody knows exactly who we are but you. Lord, you see everything about us. And so I just want to reveal that part of me to you, Lord, and ask God that you would change us and teach us and mentor us, Lord, through your word, Lord, about the art of forgiveness, the process of forgiveness, and Lord, how we can walk in it, Lord, without forgetting justice. So, Lord, I pray that you would create that opportunity in our minds. And, Lord, I know people have heard 10,000 messages and they've read scriptures about it. But I pray that you'd make it come to life in a brand new way today. Lord, a more profound, lasting way in our hearts, Lord. So we turn to you in Jesus' name. If you agree, can you say amen? Amen. I want to give you a couple of quotes first. You can just pop up the first thing. Our series, Lifelong Relationships. Could you hit the next slide there? Go ahead, and yeah, there it is. Just leave that right there, if you would. Let me talk to you about a few things that forgiveness isn't. I took a few of these from a guy named Smedes. He's a Christian author who wrote the book, The Art of Forgiveness, and I like the way he phrased it, and I kind of combined a few things that I was learning in the process here. It says, when you forgive a person does not mean that you are immediately healed. How many know that's true? You forgive somebody, and it's not like, boom, now all of a sudden you're totally healed and totally whole. And it's some kind of change overnight. When you forgive a person, it doesn't mean you're going to be buddy-buddy with that person. Okay? You forgive somebody, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden now you're my best friend. How many have ever been just violated by somebody? How many know that they might not be trustworthy, even though that you've extended some form of forgiveness to them? We're going to talk about that. It doesn't mean that we surrender the right to restitution or justice. It doesn't, forgiveness doesn't mean that justice is put off. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you're going to be trusting that person with full trust. I could take you through all kinds of things in my own marriage where there were certain areas of my own life that I wasn't trustworthy with Jody, just little things. And Jody was right not to trust me in those areas. Guys, can you relate to that? Just little things like spending money or whatever it is. Like, where'd you go? Nowhere. You know what I mean? You know? In fact, I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something that's really hard for wives. You know, when someone who's placed in kind of a leadership role in your life, like a husband, they're supposed to lead you with grace and mercy and lead you to a better place. And God is speaking to you one thing, a conviction about something that's true about your husband. But your husband, who plays the leader in your life, is telling you something different. And now you're trying to reconcile following God by being submissive, having a submissive heart. But yet your conviction is telling you one thing, and the leader in your life is telling you something else. You guys, that's just another subtle form of sin where we hurt people. Amen? Guys, amen? Amen. We do not know how deep sin runs, but it runs deep. It really runs deep. And I'm thankful for God's grace and mercy, but I'm also thankful for God's judgment and his justice in my life. Because there's plenty of times where the Lord brings me to an end of a road somewhere and he says, all right, Eric, that's the end. Now I'm moving you to a place of health. I want you to really see it this time. We're going to talk about that today. Okay, when we forgive a person, we're not avoiding pain. We're opening the door to healing. Again, forgiving is not just forgetting. Forgetting is a poor replacement for forgiveness, forgetting. Because it really isn't forgiveness. It just means you're just not going to think about it. In other words, here's your realm of thought that you kind of keep under control. And forgetting is kind of just moving that out because it's kind of a little bit too painful to think about. I just can't think about that, so I'm just going to forget. Rather than being able to look at that thing and walk through a process of forgiveness. And I'd be a hypocrite to sit here and tell you, oh man, just come on, just do it with every situation, come on. I'll be honest with you, I've had certain situations that took me years. And that, I'm just being honest with you, totally honest. I want to believe, and I do believe this is true, and you can ask my wife. In fact, you can always ask my wife, if you ever wonder about my life, you can always ask her. She'll tell you the truth about anything about me. I don't have any secrets. I don't have some secret place where I confess my sin. It's all out in the open, and the reason for that is because I want to live a transparent life, don't you? And the thing is, when God convicts you of something, and it may be unforgiveness, he shows you that area, and it's hard to look at sometimes. You know why? Because you got to look at the hurt first, don't you? And it makes it really difficult. And there was plenty of times where I had a specific thing to forgive that I just put it off and put it off and put it off. And God started maturing me and saying, son, you're never going to see the promises that I have for you to fulfill living in this weakness. I will restore you. It's like I'm going, Lord, I can't face some of these things. It's too painful. Lord, just keep encouraging me. I'm going to walk with you every step of the way. God is faithful. God is faithful. And it made me look at my own stuff and I go, man, I'm so thankful I'm forgiven. If it's not true that Jesus died on the cross, I'm hosed. I'm just being honest with you. I'm gambling everything on the cross. Everything. You can put your hope wherever you want to, but that's where I'm putting mine. Every last inch of it. It's going to be in Jesus Christ, King of Kings. I've said this many times before, but my first contact with God is going to be on my face. Just grabbing whatever. He better not be walking the wrong way. No Mac users. What? No. We know that God's intelligent. I wasn't crying. I have pink eye. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. All right. Let's go. Let me take you through the levels of offense. You guys, there's different levels of offense, okay? In other words, not every offense against you that you have to forgive is the same. I'm just going to draw a quick picture of it. The first one is you see something out there and you go, they did something wrong, okay? And maybe there's some forgiveness. You know, political commentary is all about this. You know, you can go on any channel and you know, this channel, whether it's liberal or Democrat, Republican, God is not a Republican and he's not a Democrat. Did you guys know that? He is just not. I don't care what your political party pamphlet says. He's the God of the universe who is no respecter of persons. He looks at every heart and he knows every person. Okay? But when they did something wrong out there, it's easy to judge it, but God wants forgiveness. That's way out there. There's your heart. Go ahead to the next one. You get a closer. They did this to a cause I care about. Now it starts to come close. It's not someone did something wrong, but it's something that you believe in now. Go ahead to the next one. Now, you did this to my friends. Now you're starting to affect my inner circle. Okay? Do you guys see how the pain is rising? Go ahead. Next one. You did this to me. Now you're messing with me. Okay, it's one thing someone comes in there and goes, man, hey, Eric, I don't like, you know, the wall and how you painted it. It's next thing you know when you come in, you go, hey, I don't like your wife. Right? You obviously don't know her. She's about the coolest person I've ever met, and she's my total favorite hero in the faith, period, including Billy Graham. I'm not kidding. She's my hero in the faith. You did this to me and my family. Number five, you did it again. Okay, how many can relate to this? How many of you done it again? Right? The rest of you are totally lying. You've done it again. Right? You've done it again and again. You've done it again. You have to understand that. You will not get through this process unless you understand that. If you've done it again, and it is hurtful. The next one, and we could have broken this down a million ways. You keep doing this and it's now getting dangerous. This is a repeating pattern of sin against somebody. And then number seven, you're not planning to stop. I put hell there. You know what hell's for? Hell's for people who refuse the plan of God. It's like you get to a point, it's not where God just sitting there and he's going, all right, I'm going to send these people to hell. Right? Can I just tell you something? If he wanted to do that, he'd already have done it. Right? You'd have walked into church and he'd go, hell! You know, it's behind that plastic, by the way. Some of you guys sitting real close, feeling the heat. We got a little blowtorch back there. This is willful sin that says, I have no intentions of stopping ever. It's different when you're finding yourself trapped by sin and you're saying, Lord, I want deliverance. But you're trapped by bondage or something like that and God's wanting to bring you freedom. How many have been trapped by bondage? Okay, I think this is, you guys, I can just tell you right now, I got all kinds of different areas. And it may be, if you've just come to Christ, you may be dealing with a lot more sin in some areas than I am. But it may be a specific thing that God's working on me. And he's going, man, this area right here, Eric, is just not from me at all. It's just not from me. It's you. And it's not just you. It's your sinful nature. Okay. How many want to hear a plan on how to stop and how to walk through forgiveness? I guarantee you, take this with you. You can walk. You can use this at any time because this will walk you through. Let me tell you the format I'm going to use. I'm going to use 5 different first level steps of forgiveness. And then based on the response of the responder, I call it the responder, there's going to be a couple different ways that you can go. It depends how the responder responds. You might, there's 3 specific ways after number 5 that I'm going to go. So stick with me. You guys ready to run? Okay. Number 1, I admit the offense against me and acknowledge its consequence to my life. Can everyone say sin costs? Sin costs. The reason it's sin is because it's detrimental. I can give you a number of analogies. I can think of one really specific one in my life. And many of you heard me talk about different kinds of physical abuse, whatever, and it's a good analogy for me. Because I just remember the first time acknowledging that it was something wrong. That there was something wrong. That this isn't how everybody lived. I thought it was normal to have this kind of consequences. You know, my thought, when I went to my neighbor kids and friends, and I go, yeah, remember when you used to get your kicked all over the, remember that? You know what I mean? And everyone was going like, no? No, we don't remember that. Right? And all of a sudden, I started thinking about this, and God was bringing it to my mind, and he's saying, this wasn't right, Eric. This wasn't right. And I remember I had my first talk, great talk with my dad. You know, bringing it out. And I was able to talk about it. And he said, you can say anything you want. And I was able to talk all the way through the situation. But listen, if we don't admit the offense against us and acknowledge the consequences to our lives, then we're really not dealing with the problem. It's kind of like somebody comes up and takes a gun and shoots it into your foot and you just go, oh, my knee kind of just hurting a little bit. No, someone just shot a gun through your foot. That's what you have to acknowledge. You can't acknowledge. And I'm not talking about having a big old grudge where you got to sit there and beat up your family tree for the next 20 years. I'm talking about making an acknowledgement of what reality is. You guys with me? Okay, acknowledge what it is. Go ahead and throw the scripture on there. I've got a few different kinds of scriptures. You guys, there are hundreds. But Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things is past. He's saying there's going to be a time where there's no tears. You know why? Because there's times of tears and pain now. Amen? Amen. And there is hurt now. Okay? Turn to somebody and say, admit the offense. Okay? That's the first thing. If you skip this, you skip forgiveness. Period. You skip this, you skip forgiveness. The first thing is that you need to be able to talk about the offense. It's the last thing you want to do. You know why? Because when you're talking about the offense, that's where it hurts. That's where it hurts. If someone absolutely rejected you, okay, there you have to face that rejection. And as you admit that rejection, it brings pain and agony to the heart. It's just the way it is. It's frustrating. But it's the only way around it. It's the only way to live and face reality. It doesn't matter how many Advils you take. It doesn't matter how much beer you drink. It doesn't matter how much pot you smoke. It doesn't matter how many times you escape with crystal meth or anything else. It still brings you back to that pain, stays right there. And the first thing to do is admit it's there, that you have been offended. There's been offense against you. And admit that there's been consequences to your life. It doesn't mean you're going to hold people there, but admit it's reality. Let's go to number 2. Number 2 is I get ready to speak the truth in love. Go ahead and put that scripture up there, would you? Watch yourselves. If your brother sins, what? Rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. We're going to talk about this because the scripture says a lot of things about this. The first thing I want you to notice here is that the word rebuke is a sharp, sharp, critical reprimand. In other words, it's not just, you know, hey, this is what happened. But you don't excuse yourself from love because the Bible is full of speaking in love. You can be rebuking, saying that was absolutely wrong, but be full of love for a person. Amen? It doesn't mean that you could just have a tirade and begin sinning yourself. It says that if you're trying to restore someone from sin, that you do it gently so that you can walk them out of it. In 2 Corinthians 7:8, it's not up there. Paul rebukes because there's some interesting, ungodly sexual action going on in a church, the Corinthian church. And what happens is he writes them a letter and he says, hey, why are you tolerating this? This isn't good for this person. This isn't good for the church. What are you doing? And he writes them a pretty hard letter. And he responds this way. It's not up there. I just want you to read it. This is Paul writing to the Corinthian church, his second letter. The follow-up. The first letter is, why don't you deal with this? The second letter is he's responding and saying, good job. You guys dealt with this in a righteous way. And he says, even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I'm happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance. That leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you, what earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. Does that sound like repentance to you? It does. So, the first thing to do is if you're going to confront somebody of sin, and I'll tell you what I see the number one reason people want to confront somebody with their sin, it's usually to get it off my chest. How many admit that's true? I'm just not feeling really good about this. I just need to tell them to get it off my chest. That is not the biblical mandate. The biblical mandate says you are a reconciler. You are a restorer. And so when we come to somebody who sinned against us, whether it's in the past or the present, it may be a rebuke. It may be a confrontation, or it may be a correction or a training. But we come and we say, Lord, prepare my heart to love them. I love it when there's situations where God's challenging you with some kind of confrontation or whatever, and you get the opportunity to be Christ to somebody. It's exactly what God uses it. How many are with me? Okay. The rest of you, where are you? Just okay. Number three. Number three is about humility. It says, I understand that I could also be wrong. Nah. See, let's say you're in a situation and someone did sin against you, but you could also be wrong, then you're probably going to be a little slow to confront it. Well, I don't really want to talk about it right now. Unless I can kind of present my situation, but I don't want you to bring up anything about me. If that's okay, then we could talk about it. Okay, you're not teachable. But I'm not either. You know, you get it? Okay. Jody and I have learned this in our communication, is that when we come together, we understand that there are two sides. Every story sounds good, says the proverb, until you hear the other side. Every story sounds good. It sounds good. It's when I'm rehearsing it, I'm going, man, was he wrong. And I am right. Woohoo! Yeah, I want to confront you in love, brother. You know? But that's not humility, guys. The first thing is I'm not confronting you for my sake. I'm confronting you for your sake. Because, you guys, we lose our rights as believers. You may not realize that, but you were bought at a price. That's what the Bible says. So we're surrendered to Christ, and instead of just me getting my justice, we surrender that and say, Lord, use me as a reconciler in this relationship. Okay? So I understand. Go ahead. I got a good scripture here. It says, instruct, if you're wrong, this is the worst that can happen. Instruct a what? And he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will what? Add to his learning. You can always tell when you've come across a wise man, if you instruct them, they'll just get wiser still, even if you've added something that they already know. Go, that's cool. It's another angle. Thank you for that. someone's not wise, a fool, will say, well, I already knew that. I already know that, man. Yeah, you know everything. I see how you tie your shoes. You know? All right, let's go. Number four. I humbly let the offender know of their sin with what? Hoping to what? Restore them. The Bible's full of that. We're not coming them to let you know what you did. It's now you got ready to speak the truth of love. You've acknowledged the pain, but you've taken it to the Lord because you say, Lord, I've dealt with this pain and now I'm coming to you. I'm getting ready to speak the truth in love to them. And now I'm hoping for restoration. That's my hope. I'm hoping to restore them. And the scripture says, it says, if your brother sins against you, then you call all your friends and let them know what he did. Right? I don't want to say anything because I don't want to gossip, but John, I can't believe him. What him and Fred did. They were unbelievable. But I don't want to gossip or slander them, and I haven't told them yet, but I'm telling you. Tell me how incredible I am in this situation. Yeah. You would have done the same thing? Great. Thank you. Did I tell you what happened with John and Fred? Well, I don't want to spread it around. Just to you. Hey, you guys, can I tell you something? You know why we torpedo our own relationships? It's because of this. You know what? We can so get down on, oh, look at that person. He's in that kind of sin, and he's in that kind of sin. Can I tell you, this is evil. It is evil. It is totally not from God. This one says, just between the two of you. Because if he listens to you and gets it, it's a secret thing between you and him, and you cover them. And you win your brother over, and he just goes, yeah. And no one else needs to hear, but you've told them, and now they have this opportunity to be restored, and their reputation's intact, their name's intact. Amen? You guys, I really believe, you know, we're in a culture that thrives on gossip. It thrives on it. It's, you know, and we listen to the channels or whatever. Oh, listen to this. It's like, you know, when that stuff comes on, I just shut it off. I don't want to hear gossip. I don't care about the president. I don't care if it's about the Democratic Party. I don't care if it's about the Republican Party. I just don't want to listen to it. I don't want to be a part of the gossip fest. Give me information. That's it. I'm not saying I'm anti this. Everything. But listen, we are not meant to be gossips. The Bible says whatever is noble, whatever is admirable, whatever is lovely, think on those things. Amen? All right. If he listens to you, between the two of you. Listen. This is the fact, guys. If we're not the ones, if you get sinned against and you don't, can everyone say, go and show?
Go and show.
Go. Let me tell you, this is incredibly profound, but this is go. Hey. And this is show. This is show. Now, did you guys get that? That is incredible. It's just go. It just works just like that. Can everybody do that? That's all you do. It's so easy. But listen, if we don't confront, what happens? You become the sinner. You become the offender. The minute we don't walk in that and be able to talk to them, to share what's going on, we now become the offender. Because now we've not walked in God's ways. You guys with me? How many got a big ouch? If you don't so far, listen to the tape again. Because it's in there. No, for every one of us. Okay. All right, let me take to number five. This is where we break paths. Number five. Okay, let me take the responder. The responder at this point, you've taken it to them. You go and show you and your brother. And you get denial and excuses. Does it sound familiar? Does it sound like you? Or does it sound like someone else? How many know you definitely picked the wrong church this morning? Right? You thought you were going to leave with this big happy thing, and this is happy. Can I tell you why this is so happy? Because as we walk in this, guys, we will have freedom in our relationships. God will bring freedom to our lives in a profound way. Okay, listen, I bring, if the purpose doesn't get it, they have excuses or they deny that it's true for some reason. This is the first option, is I bring increased confirmation for their sake. In other words, I don't go, you didn't get it? John, get over here and tell him what a jerk he is. You tell him.
Yeah, I saw you doing that.
We're like in the playground.
He took that ball. I did not. Yes, you did.
I was there. It's for their sake. You bring confirmation with someone who's objective. Someone who isn't on your side or on their side. It's another brother that comes in, that can come into the situation and say, okay, let me hear what's going on. Well, let's turn to prayer and go, you know what? I do feel like there's some truth here to this that you have to respond to. And the person gets an opportunity to respond. Or you might find out that you're wrong. That's happened before. Not to me, but to others. I've seen it. I've observed it in my pastoral counseling. Okay. A funny thing. Right after this, this is mentioned two or three times, this confronting two or three people. And every time afterwards, look it up in your scriptures. It always goes something like this. It says, again, I tell you, if two or three agree on anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Right at the next verse, it says this. It says that, could you guys get along and take him along and bring him along and reconcile this? Because if two or more ask for anything in my name, I will do it. And then he says, come against them. There I am with them. God will do it. God is wanting us to have unity, and this is a way to overcome the obstacles to unity. The second thing, if that doesn't work, the Bible goes to the next, says, if he refuses to listen to them, what? Tell it to the church. It doesn't just necessarily mean that you're bringing it forth and going, by the way, John is a real idiot. Okay? It's that you're bringing it to that sector of the church that's going to be able to make a difference to them and be able to reconcile it. And it says, if he refused to listen even to the church, what do you think about a person who is clearly walking in some kind of thing that's harmful for them? Just think about it for a moment. I analyze this in myself. If Jody comes to me and she says, Eric, I'm talking to you about this. And then finally she brings someone else and says, Eric, this is something that you're not trying to walk out of. You're walking in this. And all of a sudden, then I got two or three more people come from the church to go, Eric, this is true. You're doing this. And I go, no. Where do you think my heart is? Do you think I'm a believer? Do you think I'm someone who's seeking after the Lord and going, Lord, I want you as my Lord and my Savior? Or am I a person who is self-bent? Well, the Bible says what? Then treat him as you would someone who doesn't believe. Or a tax collector. Does that make sense to you? It does to me. It does. And that's exactly what the Bible says. If you refuse even to listen to them, then you treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. So increase confirmation. Let's take it to the next thing. Finally, responder. The Bible says, hand this person to the temporary fire. When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus and I am with you in spirit and the power of Lord Jesus is present, he's talking to a guy who is not wanting to make changes at all. He says, hand this man over to what? Yeah, and so I heard some people use the scriptures kind of like, here, devil! You know, it's like, take this person. Look at the humility. Why? So that his sinful nature be destroyed. In other words, this is a person who's saying, I don't need Jesus as my Lord. And says, then why don't you let Satan as the prince of this world live according to the ways of the world then, where Satan rules. And let the fullness of his terror and destroy what you think is going to be positive. It's going to bring death to your life. But may be it better that the fire destroys you here. Why? So that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. Do you guys see the humility in this? Do you see that? This is reconciliation all the way to the end point. That says, I want to walk with people for all time, no matter what it takes. And so we hand them to the love of the world. You love the world. You want its ways. And so we're not kicking you. We're saying, we're going to hand you over there in the spirit. Lord, this is a person who doesn't know you, doesn't want to walk with you. Lord, let your fire come in such a way that would draw them near to you so they could see their need for your love. In your power and your grace. Do I hear an amen? This is the heart. Don't miss the heart of God when you read these scriptures. Catch the heart and the love of God that paid the price on the cross for people's sins. Let's keep going. Number 7. And this is really, I hope you catch the profoundness of this next part here. Is I forgive them unto God. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. Forgiveness can't be given unless someone acknowledges wrongdoing. And forgiveness is not needed if you don't ever expect to change. If a person, you know why you can't give this person personal, relational forgiveness? They're not looking for it. If someone says, you know, I killed these people. Well, it's wrong. Well, I don't know. You don't want to go, well, I forgive you for that. Because this person isn't looking for forgiveness. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're not looking for it, and it's not what they need. What they need is repentance, not forgiveness. Because that person, especially a brother, understands the process of forgiveness already. And that's not what they're asking for. And so let me put it in this context. I let go of bitterness. Why? So that I can remain free. In other words, I forgive them. I say, Lord, because your word says forgive and you will be forgiven, I forgive them between me and you. But Lord, between them and you, your justice remains, what you're going to do. But I'm not going to play God. And now you've sinned against me and we will not extend forgiveness to you. No, grace is ready at any moment. When a person turns from their sin, it doesn't matter where they've come, God's grace is available. Is that true or not? It is true. Amen. I encourage them to rethink. You know where that word rethink comes? Repent. I encourage them to rethink their lives as we walk to that next step. And I still leave room for them in my heart. You know why I know that's true? Because the scripture I just read before. Pray that his soul will be saved on that day. How many are with me? There's a scripture in Matthew 5:25. It's not up there. It says, settle matters quickly with your adversary who's taking you to court. Do it while you're still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge. And the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown to prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you've paid the last penny. It's not like you're going to avoid consequences. Sin has consequences. Amen? I've had times in our relationship with Jody and I where I've done things or she's done things in our relationship and it's destroyed parts of intimacy that we could have. How many can relate to what I'm talking about? And it's just like all of a sudden you take and you're moving it down and you destroy something. And it's not that God's grace doesn't cover us, because it does. And I'm amazed at how God's able to restore and redeem. Aren't you glad? Don't you love that word, redeem? And God redeems things. But it's not like we don't have now a little hurdle to overcome. And just as unrighteousness has a cost, righteousness has a greater boost. There's an afterburner that kicks in. Okay? It takes you into the speed of light and you get cruising with God. And he takes you and he's very gracious. Let me read that first scripture. Do not judge and you not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. This is Jesus talking. Before anyone came to him with confession and repentance. That's just the reality. Listen, it's not up there. Or maybe it is. Is it up there? There it is. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything, what? Against anyone. It doesn't say, go show him his fault, see if he'll repent and take care of that. It says right there, forgive him. Right there. It doesn't say you need a process, because there's many scriptures, guys, not just one. This one says as you're coming to God and you got something because someone did something against you, it says forgive them now. That's not tomorrow. That's not as you work through it. It's you take that posture right now and you say, I forgive them, Lord. Between you and me and you, they're forgiven. So that your heaven and your Father may forgive you your sins. Okay. Let's go on to option 2. How many followed so far? That's if someone's in denial and excuses. That's the process. Okay? The next one is ignorant blindness and what I call bondage. The Bible uses the term. It uses it in a few different terms. This is a person who can't see it. Paul is a good example of this. There's many, many. I have made a list of different examples of this. Paul is a good example. He didn't know what he was doing. He was persecuting. As a Christian, it can be different things where all of a sudden, how many of you find yourself where you thought you were doing something right, and all of a sudden, as the years unfolded, years go by, and you all of a sudden you looked at an area of your life and you go, that was wrong. You guys with me? And I've had plenty of times where I go, this is right. When I first came to Christ, I was probably the most judgmental person you ever met. Because of my background of physical abuse, my thought was, as soon as you come to Christ and you start sinning, God's coming after you, pal. He's going to hound you down. I remember the first time... Can I share this?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of too late now, buddy. Jody and I were engaged, and both of us, before we came to Christ, were very promiscuous in our lives. In other words, we didn't have any standards of anything. And so now we were engaged to get married, and we were getting close, and we were being very good. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Jody was being very good, and and I was building up sermon illustrations for the singles group. I'll make this very brief. I remember Jody and I had a kiss. And I walked out in the apartment, out of the apartment complex, and what I thought was, I said, God's going to kill me. Literally, I was looking for God's death. I was looking for God's wrath. I remember just walking through, just not understanding God's character. And God convicted me. But I didn't understand the difference. You know what the difference between conviction is and condemnation? It's so diverse, so different, is that condemnation brings a hopelessness to your situation. And God doesn't, you know, it's not only that you see you did wrong, but you did wrong and you are condemned for it. But conviction is when God shows you what's wrong, but he puts rays of hope of how you can be delivered from it. It's conviction. He shows you what's wrong and you go, yeah, but I'm so glad you showed me. Because now I know that there's this path there. Even if I'm in trouble, I go, I'm so glad I'm in trouble because now God's going to show me the way. Listen, we are supposed to be responders to conviction. But condemnation, there's no place for that in our lives. When you hear condemnation, it's not from the Lord. It's from the enemy. It's from your own soul. God is not. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who are led by the Spirit. Can I tell you who are those led by the Spirit? Those ones who put their faith in Christ, filled with the Spirit of God. They're not following a religion, but they're following God. Amen? Okay, let me put in here one last thing. They can't see it right now. Don't you love it, Jesus? Father, what? Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Man, don't you love Jesus? Jesus is awesome. I'm telling you, he's my hero. Jesus is truly my hero. Every time I read about Jesus, everyone look back there. Go ahead and raise it up. I only have 5 hours left. Man, that's not bad. I'm doing pretty good. Listen, they can't see right now, and I'm telling you, you're going to come across all kinds of people. We're in your relationship, and it's a difference between, you know, I'm not going to turn from my sin, or I don't want to turn from this wickedness area, or I'm going to keep on sinning you. There's a difference when you're in that kind of mode, and where someone, you can tell that they're stuck in a rut. They're stuck. They don't know how they're stuck, but they keep going round and round. That's what I'm talking about, ignorance. Ignorance is that you can't help it. You keep finding yourself. It happens sometimes people are trying to get delivered from anger. And they're trying it. They seek the Lord. And all of a sudden, bam, they're turned around and they're stuck in the anger again. There is deliverance for anger. Amen? Okay? And there is plenty of help around. Come talk to a pastor. Come talk to a leader. Come talk to a friend. And God will walk you through the process of being delivered. Okay? And God can bring you to what righteous anger and what healing and really restoring your heart is all about. It says, if you forgive when they sin against you, Heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive men your sins, your Father will not forgive you. We quoted that scripture before, but it's in a different form. The first thing is we forgive this person. The second one, 10, is you pray. I pray that the eyes of your heart may also be enlightened. You become the ally. Become the ally instead of the problem pointer outer. Man, what a spiritual gift. You know, I can point out. Wouldn't that be fun? You just walk to the church and go, I see your problem. You got that sin. You got this problem. You're rude. You're this. You're that. You know what I mean? Why not be a solution for people? Say, hey, you know what? If you need to unload some of that stuff, I tell guys who have their anger problem, you can come yell in my office anytime you want. And I'll listen to you. Just don't yell at your wife, okay? Spare your wife and your kids and come yell at me. We'll schedule it an hour when no one else is there. You just go ahead and yell away. And I'll pray for you. And you can't hurt me anyway. Because we have similar bondages. No, God will see deliverance for you. Amen? Okay, let me go to the last one. Confesses and repents. This is important. We've already taken this person to their sin. We've taken to them with humility. We've laid it out before them. We've asked God that we could speak the truth in love. And then now we've come to them, and face to face, we go and show them their fault. Listen, it's time to grow up, people. This is me too. This is something God's really brought deliverance in my life. I'll just be honest with you. This is an area I'm pretty free in. It's like, go show people to their face their fault with love, straight face to face. And then I forgive them to their face. I don't go, no, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Hey, don't worry about it. It's fine. That is not forgiveness. Forgiveness is when you can stand, if it's man to man or toe to toe or woman to woman, whatever it is, and you stand face to face and you say, I forgive you for that. Thank you for having a humble heart. I've been praying that God would restore you. And if you see anything in me, just as I confronted you, you feel free anytime to come back at me and show me what my error is. And I restore them back to my heart. I open a place for my heart and I say, there's a place for you guys to come back in. If he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, what do you do? Forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, isn't that great? This is just perfect biblical stuff. This is exactly the order. Verse 4, verse 5. If he comes back to him and says, forgive him. Apostles, increase our faith. Right? You guys, these guys know what's going on. They're thinking about their family relationship. They're thinking about the tax collector. They're thinking about Peter's thinking about the guy who robbed him the last year and the fishing boat thing. You know what I mean? I'm making this stuff up, but you don't understand. Right? You got all the scenarios and they go, man, Lord, increase our faith. We have to have faith to believe this. But it's true and it works. Peter, it's not up there. How many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Okay. How many are with me in heart right now? Is it okay to go on the tough things and talk about what God's wanting? Are you okay to be confronted by God? I mean, do you want to have a deep, honest, face-to-face relationship with God, or do you want to play church? Because this is the stuff where the rubber meets the road. This is the place where you either grow up or you stay the same. This is the place where you adopt something in your heart and you say, Lord, I'm going to walk in this. I'm telling you, I've had several times in my life where every relationship, every single one was made clean. Every one. And I can tell you right now, that's exactly how I am this morning. And that's why I feel free to be able to share this message. Because I have no bitterness against anybody at all. Not one person. I'm not saying that can't change tomorrow, but I guarantee you, no matter what the depth of it is, the Lord will walk me through this process. No matter how much pain it entails. Will you do the same and join me? Follow me as I follow Christ. Amen? That's what Paul's admonition. Find someone around you who you find is free in this and walk with them. If not, get a hold of a leader or someone else around you that you can trust to help walk you with this. I'm going to close right now. If you can just bow your heads. And I'm going to give two responses. One to if you don't know Christ. If you don't know Christ, you need to be forgiven. It's real simple. It's not rocket science. You don't have to memorize the Bible. You don't have to know every facet about God. I don't. But I can tell you this. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came and paid for your sins on the cross. Every punishment that should go to you, and you know why, just look at your own life. Every punishment, the Bible says, is covered. Every punishment is paid for. And if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, or you want to rededicate your life, you say, hey, I've been walking away from the Lord. You say, I want to get back to that place of being forgiven and knowing that I'm forgiven. Will you just raise your hand with every other eye closed? Just if you give people the privacy. Just put your hand up and look up at me and say, Pastor, that's me. I want that. Amen. Amen. Anybody else over here? Amen. 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 You know what? Some people say, oh man, it's so easy to become a Christian. You just accept Christ. It isn't easy and it wasn't free. Jesus paid for it. It's like having a credit card debt that got out of control. And all of a sudden you find the balance at zero and it's not going up. It's tied to another line of credit that God has covered, and He's an infinite God. If you've received Christ, we would love to help you in any way, because God didn't only save you, to heal you and deliver you, but He has a wonderful plan for your life, a plan of restoration and hope and freedom and love and relationships and life. And feel free to either grab a hold of somebody, or we'll have people up here. We'd love to share you some material, a new book, get you connected to a class or anything that would help you that'll fit your lifestyle. Because we want to respect who you are. Last of all, I want to just give a response to believers. And maybe you haven't been the one to go and show people. You haven't walked through this process of forgiveness. And you have some own repentance to do in your own life right now to say, Lord, I'm going to walk in your ways. Will you right now I'm going to close my eyes. But I just would love you right now. In fact, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to look up so you can have acknowledgement from somebody. Just raise your hand right now and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to walk, and this is a commitment. Amen? Amen. If I'm going to walk through this process of forgiveness, guys, who are you raising your hands right now? Walk through it all the way. Don't stop on step 3. Don't stop on step 4. Walk through it all the way. And Father God, we just raise our hands together in our hearts, Lord, not only for the present, but for the future times that these things will confront us. And God, we ask, Lord, for your grace to live your way. We look for it in Jesus' name. And Lord, and just join me right now. We want to receive the love of God. We receive the forgiveness ourselves right now for our lives. Lord, we receive your forgiveness. We accept it by saying yes to it. Can you just speak yes to the Lord? We just say yes, Lord, to it in Jesus' name. Why don't you stand with me, please? I'm going to have our prayer team come on up. One of the things I always want you to know, and I hope you know this about our heart, is we never want to manipulate anybody. We put prayer people up here for one reason, to make it available for you. It's people that know how to pray, they've known God, they've walked with Him for a while, and they just want to pray with you. If you're one of those ones of the forgiveness, or you just receive Christ and you go, hey, I want some prayer, no one's going to judge you. They're going to walk alongside you and say, hey, I just need some help, or I just want you to pray for me. You don't have to tell them what the problem is, or you can. Because when they pray for you, they'll connect with God and connect you with Him too. Amen? We also have our DNA class afterwards. If you want to find our history, personal history, where our particular church come from, we're not an isolated planet. We're connected to the whole body of Christ here in Salt Lake. Don't you love our church world? South Mountain Community Church, Salt Lake Christian Fellowship, Mountain View Assembly, Friends Church, Gateway Church, the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen? You guys, we are one body, not separate bodies. Amen? Amen? It is one church. And let's love up on each other. Let's fellowship. There's going to be food over there. Flaming young lobster wrapped in bacon. Oh, I'm kidding. It's probably something else. God bless you. As she finishes with music, come on forward. And those of you guys who want to just hang out, feel free to fellowship. God bless you. Turn to someone and say, God loves you, man.